This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم أن لا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقلوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. My dear daughters and my brothers and sons on the top, it gives me great pleasure to be here with you all this afternoon to come and share with you my thoughts on some aspects of Islam. And I was in a quandary. I was in a haze. I didn't know. I was thinking, what shall I say? What shall I say? What am I going to speak? And as if God sent, the sister who preceded me here, she read the verse that I read to you just now from the Holy Quran. And that gave me an idea that, look, this is the voice of God. As if Allah Bari Ta'ala is speaking through her. I said, look, speak about this. And I was greatly relieved. You see, it has happened that when the Qari, you know, generally when our functions start, we get a Qari, a good reciter, to start the our meetings. And then they call the speaker. It was for Jummah prayer in my own city, in Durban. The Qari was called, pre-khutbah talk. The Qari was called, he recited. And then they called me, says, now Mr. Didat will speak. So out of what the Qari was reading from the Quran, I repeated a verse from his recitation. He was reading about an هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. That portion of the ruku he was reading. So I read that verse out of that full recitation. And I'm asking my audience, the sons of Islam, I said, in the past 24 hours, if any of you have heard that verse, please put up your hands. I said, in the past 24 hours, it was actually in the past 4 minutes, everybody had heard. But I'm asking, I want to make it a little harder for them. I said, look, in the past 24 hours, anybody heard these words? I repeat again. And I repeated the verse again. Amar Sallaka, and so on. And says, please put up your hands. And one hand went up. One hand went up. In a congregation, Jummah congregation, only one hand went up. And I recognized the owner of that hand, that person knew Arabic. Because he knew Arabic, he knew what the Qari was reading. Therefore he caught and he retained, he remembered what was read in the past 24 hours. The rest of them, Muslims, all born Muslims, young and old, 99.9%, they had never heard the word in the past 24 hours. What does that mean? It meant that this was just as pure sound, music, recitation, we are listening, we say, MashaAllah, how beautifully the Qari reads. We admire his recitation. And we say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. We praise the tone, we praise the breath control. How the Qari, for 2 minutes, the Qari Abdul Samad Abdul Basit, when he starts reciting, 2 minutes, his breath doesn't break. Carries on and on. And on, if you or I were trying to compete with him, our breath would break down half a dozen times before he's finished one breath. So people exclaim, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, everybody shouts. What makes one to wonder, what is the Allahu Akbar about? Allah is great. About what? The breath control. The breath control. It's not the meaning. What is the man telling you? As a people, as a whole, the Muslim world, the Allah's kalam is like water on duck's back. You know, you put water on duck's back, even in the rainy season, the duck is dry. You know, it has its feathers, the water just flows off. Similarly, Allah's kalam also flows off from our backs, from our friends, from our minds. It's just the sound, the music, the rhythm. We read the Quran for sawab, 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 blessings, blessings. And wallah, I believe that we will get the sawab. But the real message that is being delivered is being lost. Therefore, we don't catch it because we don't understand the language. We don't understand what is being read. Fortunately, this afternoon, our sister also translated it. She also mentioned that it is from Surah Nisa. She also mentioned that she started from verse 171. So, it is an occasion for us that we can go home and check it up. Check up these things. Not that we distrust the speaker or my sister who was here a little while back. We're not distrusting her. But if we go home and if we can check it up, going over it once more again, she has said something, maybe we caught something, some message of it, and some of it we didn't, because we might not have been familiar with it. But if we go home and check it up in our own good time, then that knowledge becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of our knowledge. And then when we start sharing with others, it really becomes our property. Like this, it's very good, you listen to a talk, mashallah, you know, it was well delivered, you know, well, the man was well spoken, and he was mesmerizing the people, all that kind of things can happen, but it's a short-term entertainment. We're getting entertained. You do get entertained. We all get entertained. You see, by our learned people, they come along, entertain us. So, it is a very good idea to go home and check up in the Qurans at home. I take it that every Muslim has a Quran at home. But it's very difficult for the non-Arab, we non-Arabs. I don't know how many Arabs are here. They might be very conversant with the Quran, I don't know. But the bulk of our people, very, very difficult. Our sister said Surah Nisa. In a Quran, a volume of this magnitude, this particular one is the translation, 1920 pages. Where will you find Surah Nisa? In the first instance, go and check it up. Where? But if you have a translation like this one, this particular one, published on this subcontinent, this part of the world, in Lahore, it was first published in 1935, or thereabout, by Sheikh Muhammad Ashraf, Kashmiri Bazar, Lahore. This translation is by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. There is another one, Muhammad Ali Qadiani. This is Yusuf Ali. Abdullah Yusuf Ali. Now, in this particular translation, it has advantages which no other translation has. And the advantage here is, number one, that this is the only translation I've seen so far which gives you a verse-by-verse translation. For example, starting with Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter of 7 verses, it begins, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Exactly opposite that Bismillah in Arabic, on the opposite side, you see, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So all praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, most gracious, most merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, the master of the day of judgment. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. He says, thee alone we worship and thee alone we ask for help. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Say, guide us on to the straight path. Sirat al-Ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy favors. Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wal-Dallin. Not of those who earn thine anger, nor of those who go astray. verse by verse translation. And as you are reading, you can focus your attention more on this translation, because as soon as you read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, at the end of that ayah, that meaning, you see a number. That number tells you that there is a commentary, tafsir, at the bottom. This particular one will say 19. You look at number 19 at the bottom in smaller types, gives you the tafsir, commentary. It tells you what is Rahman, it tells you what is Rahim, what is the difference between these two, and what are the relationship between the two. So your attention is focused on the ayah longer period of time. So you digest that knowledge. It's more easily digestible. Because the Quran, the whole Quran, is a book of revelation, wahi. But Allah Bari Ta'ala sent this wahi like telegrams. Actually, that's how they came to him, by telegrams. It was not like stories, like you say, you know, once upon a time, the fox and the grapes, or the wolf and the lamb, or once upon a time, there was a tailor in China, and he had a son called Aladdin, and Alibaba, and the 40 thieves. No, nothing like that. The Quran is a very concentrated book. And Allah talks by telegrams. And everybody, it's not very easy for everybody to understand telegrams. We might be literate, we read books and all that, read newspapers, but telegram, to grasp the message of the telegram is harder. And Allah is talking by telegrams. You see, like for example, our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was engrossed in a discussion, in a dialogue with the Christians of Najran. It was in Medina. The Christians of Najran, outside Medina, they were Arab Christians, that there is another Arab now in Medina, and he is claiming to be in communion with the Almighty. He is claiming to be a prophet. So they said, let's go and cross-examine him. Let's find out what he knows. So they came to Medina, and they were housed in the Masjid of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabawi, very simple structure. Plastered mud on the floor, mud walls, palm leaf, fiber on the roof. Very simple structure. There were no hotels or no motels in those days. So they were housed in the masjid, they slept in the masjid, they ate in the masjid, and they had the dialogue in the masjid. And when Sunday came, our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered the masjid. He said, look, you can offer your prayers here. He was that tolerant. But during the course of the discussion that was going on, the spokesman for the Christian poses the question, say, all right, now tell us now, among so many other things, oh Muhammad, now tell us, what is your concept of God? So our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't start like you and I. When we haven't got a ready answer, we say, well, you see, it's like, you try me out during question time and you'll see it. You see, well, you know, everybody is fumbling for words, for thoughts, trying to gather my thoughts, and I go around the bush a little bit. Everybody goes around the bush, you know, others going around and around, beating around the bush, till he says, yes, this is the answer. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't do that. He is waiting for the Almighty. He wants to know, say, look, Ya Bari Ta'ala, what shall I say? He is communing with Allah. Nobody hears him. He is pressing, so to say, his spiritual buttons, trying to contact the head computer, fi lawhim mahfuz, from the preserved tablet, the knowledge is coming. He is pressing his spiritual buttons, no buttons there. There are no buttons there, but figuratively, so to say, he is pressing his spiritual buttons. Ya Bari Ta'ala, what shall I say? Comes the answer. Qul huwallahu ahad. Say, he is Allah, the one and only. Allahu Samad, God the Eternal Absolute. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there's nothing like unto him. Now, once I repeat that, I said, now, what did I say? Ask people. What did I say? He said, well, you said that there's only one Allah, one God. I said, yeah. What else? So, well, it's got no father, no son. I said, yeah. What else? It's difficult. because it's all concentrated stuff. It is so concentrated and the message is so, it's so much pervasive, so much is involved in these four short verses. It's like an ocean of theology, the knowledge of God, an ocean. These four verses. But in a concentrated form, you just read the meaning and you pass over onto something else. You lost everything. You need a commentary and this one gives it to you. Explain to you that what is one and only, when it says he does not be getting, he does not be caught, to whom it is being addressed. But coming back to the surah itself, Ikhlas, surah Ikhlas, which is a surah of purity. We are told, and I believe, that if you read surah Ikhlas, we say Kul Huwallah, three times, you get the sawab of reading the whole Quran. Have you heard that before? Yes. We say when we start, say dua Fatiha. So everybody starts with surah Fatiha, alhamdulillah. And then we read surah Kul Huwallah three times, the surah Ikhlas three times. And we believe that Allah will give us the blessings as if we read the whole Quran. It's quite an amazing thing. This Quran, an encyclopedia. You read 12 lines, that's 4 times 3. 12 lines, 12 verses, 12 ayahs. And you get the value of the whole Quran in blessings. Doesn't it make you want to think, what is there in it? Just 4 verses, 3 times, 4 threes are 12. And I get the blessings of the whole Quran. Why should it be so? What makes it so valuable, invaluable? It's worth thinking. You see the reason. I've been thinking. I haven't had the chance of asking learned men. I'm not a learned man. People, you know, make me out to be a great scholar and all that. Actually, I'm a furniture salesman. I've been talking, and I talk myself into talking. Therefore, I come and stand here before you. But I have not had the good fortune of going into a university, secular or religious. The only time I go into a university now is go and talk to them. I haven't had the chance of going and getting any benefit from them from beforehand. So, just thinking about it, what makes it so valuable, invaluable? So I find that this surah, these four verses, are the touchstone of theology. Means a testing stone of theology. Theology means the knowledge of God. It's a touchstone. If you have this touchstone, you will never go wrong. Any concept of God, any community, any religious group comes along to you and gives you a concept of God. With these four verses as a touchstone, you can either accept or reject. There is no theology on earth that can confound you if you have these four verses in front of you, if you understand its meaning. Person comes along and he says, God is two. Like in Zoroastrianism, there's a God of good and there's a God of evil. He says, Kul, tell them, Hu Allahu Ahad. He is the one and only God that there is. He's not two. The Christians say he is in a trinity, three in one. He says, no, Kul, say, Hu Allahu Ahad. He's the one and only. They think there are millions of God like our Hindu cousins. Says no, say he is the one and only God that there is. Negatives, all ideas of a plurality, two, three or many, out, touchstone. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, that he does not beget and is not begotten. The Christians say that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He says no, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Negative is the idea. Any theology comes along, this is a touchstone. And they say, God is like this, God is like that, he's so handsome, he's like old Father Christmas, Santa Claus, sitting on some planet with his feet dangling onto the earth as his footstool, the heaven as his canopy, the loving Father in heaven. So says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. There's nothing like unto him that can be imagined. So anything you think or imagine is not him. Finish. This is the touchstone. See the touchstone the jeweler uses. You ladies are familiar with jewelers. You go along, let's say your grandmother left some old jewelry and you take it to be 24 karat gold. And you want to have it remelted and into some modern design. So you go along and say, now what is this worth? My grandma's, you know, thick, heavy necklace. So the guy, the jeweler, he rubs a part of that jewelry onto his touchstone, his black granite, smooth black granite. He rubs on it, and he has samples of other gold, 9 carat, 12 carat, 18 carat, 22 carat, 24 carat gold. That's how they value gold, how much pure it is. So he says, this coloring that on that black stone of your gold, how much yellow or goldish it is, he guesses that this is about 9 carat. So he has a 9 carat piece. So he rubs on it next to it. He says, well, this is the same as that. So he tells you, Ben, this is 9 carat gold. Kachara hai kachara. So he says, no, my grandma, she couldn't have kept this and got this as her wedding present, you know, 9 carat gold. So you go to another jeweler. Try it sometimes. Go to another jeweler. He said, look, this is pure gold, 24 carat, 22 carat. They need to put two carat extra something to make it a little harder. Otherwise, gold is very soft. It will bend very quickly. So this is 22 carat. He says, bring it here, sister. He rubs on his touchstone. And he rubs. He says, this one here is 9 carat. It seems like a collusion going on between all the jewelers. You know, one fellow rings up all the other jewelers and says, look, there's a woman coming along, you know, in black burqa, and you know, you must tell her it's 9. No, you know it's not so. He's got a touchstone. And from that touchstone, he knows 9 carat. You go to 100 different jewelers, they tell you 9 carat, 9 carat, 9 carat, 9 carat. He's not 22 as you are imagining. So, this is the touchstone. This Surah Ikhlas is the touchstone, whereby, therefore Allah says, puts this value upon it, is that look, you read it three times. In other words, you understand what you're reading. Not just the rattling of three times the Surah. Three times you read the Surah. That's how long does it take? Not even 2 minutes. Not the rattling it off gives you that value. In other words, you have now imbibed that standard. You have got the touchstone of testing the knowledge of God. Whatever the guy tells you, you know to what degree of acceptability it has. Touchstone. How many carat gold it is. Touchstone. So you see, it's a very concentrated book. We need a tafsir. So this particular one gives you that. It gives you the tafsir commentary. Then this one has a very comprehensive index. Just like a dictionary. Right at the back, our sister said, this is from Surah Nisa. If you remember Nisa, Nisa means women, in your honor. Allah Bari Ta'ala has revealed a chapter in his book, in your honor. Surah Nisa. Chapter Nisa means women. So she said, Nisa, where are you going to find Surah Nisa in this volume? Very easy. And the N, like a dictionary, N, look for Nisa. N-I-S-A, Nisa. Oh, it tells you Nisa, chapter 4. So, chapter 4 is easy to find, because every page is numbered, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 114. So, 4 is easy to find. So, verse number 171. Once you found chapter 4, 171 is easy to find. I had to find it there. While I was sitting there, I gave me an idea. I said, now what shall I do? I said, mashallah, very good. As if Allah has inspired my sister to say, look, talk about this. You see? So make my task easy. Instead of thinking, they were asking me, what are you going to talk about? What? I said, look, man, I don't know. And I was planning something. But as if this was an answer to my prayer, talk about this. I said, let me talk about that. So the verse our sister began with was, there's no collusion between me and her. I won't be able to recognize her in the audience. Wallah, I can guarantee you that. That if I see her like this, if she comes again on the stage, I'll recognize her. But in the audience, it'll be difficult for me to go and pick her up. To say, who read it here? I don't know. So she began, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَالُوا Now, قُلْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ قُلْ She started with قُلْ Say, oh, let me finish the first قُلْ about قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهِ. You see, there, when he was, our Nabi was questioned, O Muhammad, what is your concept of God? So I said, he pressed, so to say, his spiritual buttons. I hope you, my sisters, understand. I don't care for my brothers whether they understand or not what I'm talking about. As long as you understand it right. There were no buttons. I lost 2 buttons in 2 days. Wallah, yesterday I lost one, I was just trying to put it in and it went. This afternoon, I tried to do the same and it went. And now I don't want to take a chance with the third one. These buttons, you see, they get lost. My brother promised me that when we go to the hotel, he'll sew it on for me. So he is pressing, trying to commune with Allah Bari Ta'ala. Ya Bari Ta'ala, what shall I say? Comes the answer, Qul, say, Huwa Allahu Ahad, He is Allah the one and only. If you asked him, he said, why do you say, say, He is God the one and only? Look, if you are questioned about anything, somebody asks you, what is 6 times 6? If you have gone to school and learned your arithmetic, your multiplication tables, you say 6 times 6, you say 36. What is 12 times 12? You say 144. You don't say 144. You don't say 36, do you? No, because you have the answer. What is 2 times 2? What do you say? 4. You don't say 4, do you? No, you don't say 4, you say 4. Why is this man saying, say, he is God the one and only? Because he is not talking. He is not talking. The words you are hearing are from his lips. They're coming out of his mouth. But they are not his words. He is asking. He is communing. Ya Bari Ta'ala, what shall I say? Comes the answer through him, say, he is Allah the one and only. So he says, say, he is Allah the one and only. Now you see, these are not his words. It goes to prove also that this is the wahi, it's a revelation. When you read that chapter, 4 verses, there is no explanation there in the Quran itself. The tafsirs might, the mufassirs might be able to explain what happened and what not, what I'm telling you now. But there is nothing there in the Quranic text to tell you what was going on. That Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina, and the Christian deputation had come from Najran, and the Prophet housed them in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and you know, he fed them and he looked after them, and they had a discussion for 3 days and 3 nights. Nothing. And while the discussion was going on, the spokesman for the Christian poses the question, and Muhammad, you know, he pressed his spiritual buttons, and he got the answer, and this is what he said. It's not all there. Nothing is there. Allah starts, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And then back again to normal. He says, you see, now this is our concept of God on a different level. It's all Arabic, but this Arabic is something different. Like a machine gun fire, tak 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 tak. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. You see, this is our concept of God. This is, I wanted to share that with you. This is how the Quran came to him in word form. What he received, it made indelible impression on his heart and mind, and he had this thing scribed by the scribes, write it down, because he was an ummi, he was unlearned, unlettered, and it was preserved on palm leaf fiber, shoulder blades of animals, on skins, and kept in a chest and in the hearts and minds of men, memorized. This is how originally the Quran was preserved for us. And this is the Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left for us. So coming back to the subject, قُلْ, again, say, our Nabi is commanded to say, tell them, who? Ya ahl al-kitab, O people of the book. Who are the people of the book? Is it the Jews and the Christians? They are the people of the book. Meaning, they had a scripture. They had certain written books. And they claimed that they were a learned people, as against the Arabs. The Arabs were an ummi people, an unlettered people. And an ummi prophet was sent to them. Amazing. An Ummi prophet, one who can't read and write, comes to an Ummi people who can't read and write. And yet this is given a book that puts to shame the wisdom of the learner. I mean, it's a miracle. To show you that this is not his work. This is the work of, this is Allah's kalam. He couldn't have done it. Muhammad couldn't have, no man could have done a job like this. Purely on a physical level, material level. You see, this is an encyclopedia. The Quran is an encyclopedia of 114 surahs. Given by Allah Bari Ta'ala to his prophet, the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We say this is a revelation, a wahi. The outsider, the enemy says, no, this is Muhammad's work. Muhammad wrote this book. But he said, look, he was an ummi. He couldn't read or write. They said, well, maybe. But wasn't he a great orator? Wasn't he a great thinker? Could he not have rehashed what he heard in his environment from the people about the Jews and their Christians and about Jesus and about Abraham and Moses and about Yusuf alayhi salam? Could he not, what the stories he heard, rehash it in a beautiful language? As a great thinker, as a great orator, couldn't he have done it? He could have. So you see, knowing full well, we know that this is not his work. Allah Bari Ta'ala testifies to it in the Holy Quran. He says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He does not speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْنُ يُوحَىٰ. It is no less than an inspiration sent down to him. قَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. He is taught by one mighty in power. It's not his. But the enemy said, this is his handiwork. It's right. For a moment, I tell you, agree with him. Agree with him for a moment. For a moment. Knowing full well that this is not his work. This is not the work of man. I said, all right, I agree with you that Muhammad wrote the book. In that case, this is a one-man job. He's got to agree. In that case, it's a one-man job. He doesn't say that Omar, Abu Bakr, and Usman, and Ali, and Muhammad, they all sat together and they wrote this and rehashed it and they planned it. No, no, no. This is one-man job. It's not his job, but since the enemy says it is his, it's right. This is his work, his handiwork. It's a one-man job. You agree? And they must agree. It's a one-man job. I said, let's have a look at your book. See, I forgot to put it in my bag. I would have shown it to you, the Bible. I said, you see, this is your book, the Bible. It has 73 books, that of the Roman Catholics. The Bible has 73 books inside. You know, those booklets put together to make an encyclopedia called the Bible. The Protestant world have 66 books. I mean, 66 little booklets. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 66. I said, those 66 books were written by 40 different authors. Right? He says, right. 40 different guys went to make this one book. This is one man job. Purely on its physical level, just the material aspect of it. This one man puts into shade your 40 authors. The greatest writer among your 40 authors is Paul. Paul, Saint Paul. I said, he wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. More than half. 14 out of 27 books were written by one man, Paul. And all the Paul's books put together is not this. It's not this amount. Not even this amount. Not even quarter inch thick. Says, come on, tell me now. Tell me now. Let's say on the very value that you're putting it, one man job against 40. I said, this one man puts into shade all your 40 different authors. And he's not just filling up any kind of rubbish, stories, fairy tales. He's giving you the elixir of life, guidance for this world and in the hereafter. Everything pertinent for your needs. You read the other thing, so many things, we have no time to go into it. So, the address is, Ya Ahlul Kitab, O people of the book, look, they've got 66 books. They say, this is all from God. It's right. You are a learned people. That's how Allah talks to them. He humors them. You are a learned people. How can you go off like that? How can you say this? How? As a learned people, pull now, say, Ya Ahlul Kitab, O people of the book, لا تغلو في دينكم. He says, do not go to extremes in your religion. Don't go to extremes in your religion. Look, we are not made to say, oh, leave us alone. We are Muslims, we are good people. We pray 5 times a day and we don't drink and we don't gamble and we don't dance. You know, we are very charitable people. Leave us alone. No, no, this is not Islam. You do all these things, mashallah. But there's something more than that is required from us. People who are going wrong, going off the track, uttering blasphemies, kufr against the prophets of God, against Allah. It is our duty to rectify them, call them to the right path. So Allah commands us to tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O Jews and Christians, there, here it refers to Jews and Christians, La taghlu fi dinikum, do not go to extremes in your religion. Aren't you interfering with them? Yes. Why don't you mind your own business? So no, this is our business. Allah has made us the torchbearers of light and learning to the world. He has appointed us as the kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that you are the best of people evolved for mankind. For mankind. What makes us the best of people? Because we say we are Sayyids and Afghans and Pathans and what not? No. You are an Arab. You are a Nigerian. What makes you the best of people? He gives you the qualification, the standard that makes us the best of people. It's the ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna anil munkar, because you enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong. Wa tu'minuna billah, and you believe in Allah. If these are your qualifications, then you are the best of people. Then if you are the best of people, that honor, that privilege imposes upon us certain responsibilities. And among the responsibilities is that we should share this honor with other people. And the fittest people to receive this sharing are the Jews and the Christians, because they were already prepared to receive the message. Prophets after prophets were sent to them. I won't go into that aspect. Allah says in that verse, وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَحْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. But if the people of the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, if they hearken to this message, it will be better for them. In other words, it will be better for you. Muslims, will be better for you if they listen to this message. Minhumul mu'minuna, among them there are mu'mins, good people, faithful people, sincere people. Among them, among the Jews, there are good people. Among the Christians, there are good people. Allah says, wa aktharuhumul fasikun, but the majority of them are perverted transgressors. Two types of people, good people and the guy who's rebellious, wanting to put up a fight with you, want to steal your children, calling you names, want to send you to hell, abusing the Prophet, abusing the Quran, abusing Islam. How to approach them both? You can't discount anyone. The good man, how to approach him. And the devilish fellow, how to tackle him. But our subject, going back to our subject. La taghlu fi dinikum. He said, do not go to extremes in your religion. The Jews and the Christians were going to extremes with regards to the personality of Jesus Christ, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So, وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ, and don't say anything about Allah except the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحِ, most certainly the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryama, Jesus the son of Mary, Rasulullah, is the messenger of Allah. وَكَلِمَتُهُ, and a word proceeding from him, Al-Qaha ila Maryam wa ruhum minhum, which he bestowed upon Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. Fa'aminu billahi wa rusulihi, so believe in Allah and his messenger. I am requested that at 6:15 we should allow a 15 minutes break for Maghrib, and as such there's only, in my watch, there's only 2 minutes to go. I think we can have a little extra long breath. 2 minutes extra won't do anybody any harm. This is the request made by our sister here, and as such now I give you that permission for this break of 15 minutes as requested. So thank you very much. So my dear sisters and brothers, Allah commands us to tell the Jews and the Christians, La taghlu fi dinikum, do not go to extremes in your religion. The matter in which this verse was revealed about the matter was about the personality of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. See, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born miraculously, mujiza, without any male intervention, Allah may created him. The Jews, because they didn't want to believe in him, they insinuated that because he couldn't point to a man saying, this is my father, they created a rumor, spread a story, that a Roman soldier by the name of Panthera, they also give him a name, a fictitious thing. They just thumbsucked it out of thin air, but now they spread it, sounds more authentic when it's a Roman soldier by the name of Panthera. He raped Mary, Maryam alayhi salam, he raped her, and this illegitimate child was given off as the son of God. One extreme. The other extreme was of the Christians. They said that because he's got no earthly father, his father is God. And he is the only begotten son of God. Ek hi Allah ka jana hua beta. That's gone to another extreme. One goes to one extreme in saying that Isa alayhi salam is illegitimate. Haram zada hai, astaghfirullah, maazallah, Allah me bachave is bolon se. But this is what they said, ki haram zada hai. And the other say he's God, because he's the son of God. Both going to extremes. So Allah tells us to tell them, don't go to extremes. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Don't say anything about Allah except the truth. With regards to Masih, Christ, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Most certainly, Masih, the son of Mary, Isa, the son of Mary, is a messenger of God. Allah ke ek rasul hai. وَكَلِمَتُهُ, and a word proceeding from him, from Allah. Al-Qaha ila Maryam waruhum minhu. Which he bestowed upon Mary and a spirit proceeding from him. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. So believe in Allah and his messenger, Jesus, that he is Allah's messenger, Allah ke rasul hai. That's all. Don't go to extremes. He is neither what the Jews say nor what the Christians say. He is a messenger of God, and his mother was a virtuous woman, nek aurat thi, she was a saintly woman, and she was not what the Jews say or insinuate. Now this is the duty imposed by Allah upon us to clear the atmosphere. And these verses, generally we all read in the Quran, we do Khatmul Qurans, in Ramadan especially the Muslims is very particular. Some say we made five khatams, some say we made 10 khatams, some say we made 30 khatams. Khatam ke maane hote hain ke khatam kar diya, khalas kar diya. We finish the Quran 5 times, we finish it 10 times, we finish it 30 times. Khalas kar dete hain usko. Not knowing that the Quran is not for finishing up. What did we learn? Sawab we will get. I believe in that. There's a hadith which says that every letter of the Quran when you utter, you get 10 sawabs, neki. When we say alif lam mim, our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this alif lam mim is not a word, there are three letters. Alif lam mim, so you get 10. These sawab hume, nekiya hume mil gaye. Hum padhte hain, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Count the letters, 19. 190 sawab mil gaya. Sawab to milega. But this is besides sawab, book of instructions. And Allah is giving us instructions. More especially in the salat. Every one of us ought to be hafizul Quran. Every Muslim. In other words, everything that Allah tells you, we should remember. And the best way to remember is to memorize. Everyone a hafiz. But Allah knows that we are not all capable of achieving that feat, everyone. We are 1,000 million Muslims in the world. Can every 1,000 million of them be Hafizul Qurans? It's not possible, it's not practical. So Allah Bari Ta'ala, He gave us a system of Salat. to make up for this, that you can't be half is everyone. So 5 times a day, every day of the year, through the mouth of the muazzin, we are being given the message. For example, in the Maghrib we made just now, if the imam was reading these verses, what our sister read and which I am repeating, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقَّ and on and on and on. And says, Allahu Akbar, goes into ruku. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ Allahu Akbar, goes into sujood. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Allahu Akbar. And again, Surah Fatiha and something else. You read. And again, we repeat. Now, in the Salat, we hear again and again parts of the Quran being recited. Among them are these verses. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا كَمْ أو وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثًا أو لَكَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَالْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ You know, to whom are these words addressed? It's not addressed to us. Allah is not talking to you or to me. When he says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ The imam is saying, وَلَا تَقُولُوا سَلَاسَ Don't say Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, مَتْ كَهُو کوئی کہتا ہے ہم مسلمانوں میں We are 1,000,000,000. Is there a single Muslim who says, I believe in the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost, or I believe in Allah and Muhammad and Jibreel, that these three are not three gods but one God. Is there a Muslim who talks like that? No. Then who are we talking to? Who is Allah talking to? Who is the Imam talking to? He says, وَلَا تَقُولُ سَلَاسَ And there's nobody saying سَلَاسَ He says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, تَعَالَوْا Come! میں پوچھتا ہوں کہ کوئی ہے تمہاری مسجدوں کے اندر کوئی آتا ہے جو یہودی اور نصارہ آتا ہے اور کوئی آتا ہے تو کہے آؤ تَعَالَوْا Come! کوئی آتا ہے کس کو بلاتے ہیں Who are you calling? You say تعالو اس کے معنی ہوتے ہیں کہ آؤ ہے کس کو بلاتے ہیں Suppose I came to this hall knowing that this is Rangunwala hall and there's to be a lecture here and I said let me go and rehearse practice so I come along and get a mic and get started there's nobody in the hall and I said Mr. Chairman ladies and gentlemen you know it gives me great pleasure to be here and to I'm talking away to an empty hall and somebody passing by He said, what's going on here? The people says, this guy here, this guy that did that fellow man. You know, he's talking. To who? So we don't see anybody there. Then, figuratively, they say he's talking to the wall. Yani, iska tikana nahi hai. He's talking to the wall. Iska kis guy? He's off his rocker. He's off his head. No? If I was alone saying, Ya Ahlul Kitab, Ta'ala, and there's nobody there, Ta'ala, ow, ow. میرے بہنوں بھائیو آؤ یہ تو کوئی نہیں ہے نہیں اینڈ یو ہیئر می ٹاکنگ لائک دیٹ آؤ 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 بیٹھو 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 واٹ ول پیپل سے واٹ ول یو سے اف یو سو می فرام دی ڈور کہ بیچارہ ابھی بڈھا ہو گیا اس کا ٹھکانے نہیں ہے واٹ ہی نیڈز از اے سائیکائٹرسٹ اس کو لے جاؤ کسی ڈاکٹر کو بتاؤ اس کی امداد کرے یس اینڈ اور امامز They're repeating, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, Ta'alaw, there's no Ahl al-Kitab. Ya Bani Israel, Askuru, Ni'mati Allati Anamtu Alaykum. O children of Israel, Ye Bani Israel, Tum Yaad Karo, you know, the things that Allah did unto you. Wa Anni Faddaltukum Alal Alameen, that Allah kehta hai ke, all the favors that I did unto you. I chose you above all the peoples of the earth for my special favors. And there's no Bani Israel, there's no Yahudi, there's no Nasara, there is nobody there who's saying Salasa. There's nobody say that Allah has begotten a son, Allah ne beta jana. And you're reading verses condemning it. And there's nobody there. Who are you talking to? In English, this is talking to the wall. Diwal ke saath baat karta hai. Yani uska thikana nahi hai. He's mad. Are you all mad? No. You see, this is Allah's instructions given to us through the mouth of the imam. That we may go and look for these people who saying three in one, who say that Allah has begotten a son, who said that Jesus is the illegitimate child of Mary, the other who said that Jesus is God Almighty in human form, begotten Son of God. We have to find them out, search them out. That's the purpose. But it's all like water on duck's back again. Water on duck's back. Badak ke upar pani phenkte hain to chala karta hai. You see, the whole message is lost. We are where we are. We are still the best of people. In our brotherhood, in our piety, in our sobriety, in our charities. There is not another nation on earth, a religious group that can show a candle to us to say we are better than you. We have a lot of shortcomings. We fight over little things, especially our menfolk. They're looking for trouble all the time. They've got so much energy that they can't see the enemy, the Jalut. It's easier to fight me. Fight me. Ke Buddha ko main maar sakta hu. And this Buddha can hit this young man here. We are ever ready for a fight. Because the big Jalut, the giant of communism, I can't tackle. The Russian, I can't tackle. The Chinese, I can't tackle. The American, I can't tackle. But I can tackle my brother. Now when I'm old, I can give him blow for blow. To maybe kuch hoon. Pehlwan. This is the Muslim in general. Busy, busy, busy. He's busy about the beard. Ki dhadi hai ke nahi? Dhadi hai to standard size hai ke nahi? Huh? Yes, yes, they're fighting. Ye nasara ka kabra pehen ke tum phirte ho? Dhadi rakhi hai, mashallah, standard size. But mushe aapne usko shave ki hai? Usko shave kiya hai. Tumhare ghar wale ne. He should have trimmed it. Because our Nabi said he must trim the mustache. He didn't say shave the mustache. Keep the beard, but shave the mustache. He didn't say shave, he said trim. Busy, busy, busy. Dua padhna, eyes take a zor se. There are wars going on in South Africa. Muslims, good Muslims. They're bashing each other's heads for this. Ke dua zor se padhni, ya eyes te se. Haath uthana, ke nahi uthana. Salame karni, ke nahi karni. Shoo. Unimaginable. Because they're not listening to instructions. Allah is saying, find these people. This is the program, this is the data material that we are supposed to put into our computer. Allah's computer given to us free. Put this in and whatever is put in is going to come out. The Americans say garbage in, garbage out. That's a technical term for putting data material in the computer. Jo bhusa bhara jayega, wo bhusa niklega. It's natural. Whatever we are programmed with, that is the only thing that's going to come out. You go to an institution where they teach you salami, 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 you come out saying, talking about salami, salami, salami. The other one says, bidda, bidda, bidda. He comes out and says, bidda, bidda, bidda. Bidda, bidda, bidda. This is it. Programming. And we are programmed with these things to fight among ourselves. Instead of fighting the enemy. Allah is giving you instructions to identify your enemy. Tumhare dushman ko dekho. People who are coming to steal your children. And he's giving you 5 times a day instructions. But as I said in a Juma, in a masjid, Juma time, I'm asking, is there anyone who heard this verse in the past 24 hours? And I'm talking about the sons of Islam, the fathers of Islam. One man in a Juma congregation. This is how good we are. One man who knew that this verse was recited only 4 minutes ago and he remembered the rest, it was water on duck's back. Now, how can we rectify the situation? Allah gives us instructions and nobody carries it out. So Allah tells that people like that are fasik, perverted transgressors. Allah told us among the Jews and the Christians there are good people and the majority of them are perverted transgressors. We read the kalima, the shahada, but in implementing the message of Allah, we are perverted transgressors. Reason. The reason is our system of education in the first instance. System is wrong. The system of our education, the way we learn to read the Quran is wrong. It was a beautiful system we are following. It was a system for new converts, naye musalmanon ke liye. For new converts, the system we are following is for new converts, naye musalmanon ke liye. A person from the outside who doesn't know anything about Islam, about Arabic, anything, he becomes a Muslim. An American, Dheer Chamar, knows nothing, and he or she is converted. Now, are you going to teach that person Arabic as a language? No, because you yourself don't know Arabic as a language. How can you teach that person? So you're going to teach, this is Alif, this is Ba, this is Ta, this is Tha. Learn the alphabet. Then you see this is Alif and this is Fatha or Zabar. Alif Zabar A, Be Zabar Ba. That's how I learned when I was young on the subcontinent. Alif zabar a, be zabar ba, te zabar ta, se zabar sa, jim zabar ja, he zabar ha. That's how I learned. I don't know how you people learn here in Pakistan. I haven't had the chance. Maybe you say alif fatha a and be fatha ba. I don't know. But that's how I learned. So the Arabs, traders, they taught our forefathers, ancestors. 200 to 400 years ago, my people. I come from the west coast of India, a place called Surat. It's a little above Bombay. It's a small port. Arab sailors were coming along to barter the dates, the muslin cloth, the turmeric, the tamarind for our muslin cloth. And we did business. And in the process, my ancestors, the Banyas, the Gujarati Hindus, I speak Gujarati, it's a Kamcho, Saracho, that's my language, you see. So the Banyas, Morarji Patel, same language. I mean, Morarji Desai, same language. Vallabhji Bhai Patel, same language. Gujarati speaking people. We speak Gujarati. So these Arab traders, my ancestors saw that they were good people. So they said, look, we also want to become one of you. He says, very easy, give me a hand. And they gave the hand. He said, read the Shahada. So what is that? He said, say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He said, now you are Muslim. Now, you mustn't eat the pig, that's right. You mustn't eat dead animals, right? You mustn't eat blood, right? You mustn't drink alcohol, right? Whatever you say, right. You know, you must make salat. How? Namaz. How? So look, like this. Make wudu like this. You make salat, wash your face, this, that, and make salat like this, like that. What you do? He said, look, read certain surahs. So they taught our fathers by sound. Bismillah, say Bismillah, Bismillah, maybe 100 times. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So he learned. Our ancestors, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and on. In a few small surahs, right, now you can join us. Anytime we come, we pray, you join us. MashaAllah. We became Muslim. So what about the children? Oh, we'll leave one sailor behind. One of the workers in the ship, so we leave him behind, and he'll teach the children. So he taught the children. Alif, Be, Te, Se, Jim, He, He, Da, Za, and this is Allah. Alif, Lam, Jabar, Allah, Mali, Zabar, La, Allah. Be, Lam, Zabar, Balla, Mali, Zabar, La, Balla. Te, Lam, Zabar, Talla, Mali, Zabar, La, Talla, Salla, Jalla, Sab, Sikha, Diya. MashaAllah. Now you can read this. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman. Learn how to read, mashallah. Beautiful system for new converts. That was 200 to 400 years ago. But my grandfather was treated as a new convert. My father was treated as a new convert. I was treated as a new convert. My son was treated as a new convert. And my grandson will be a new convert. Naya Musalman, same system for new convert. My grandchild, same. And my great-grandchildren will still be the same. Amazing. We never become Muslims. We remain new converts. Some of us here will be boasting, Hamare baap dada to hazar baras se musalman hai, hazar baras se. MashaAllah. Originally, you know, when the people came, the sahabas, uski hum aulad hai, hum sayyid hai, kya nahi. MashaAllah. But I says, you know, the system that you are reading the Quran, you're learning to read the Quran, is a system for new converts. Hazar baras mein tum abhi musalman nahi ban sake. Amazing. And it occurs to nobody. This is what beats me. That this is an independent state, the Islamic state of Pakistan. And we have giants of the intellect, giants of learning here. The amount of books that people give me. You know, the loading, I had to make a special unaccompanied baggage. 45 kilos I had to send away to South Africa this morning. 45 kilos overweight luggage. I had to pay 1,800 rupees to get that thing out. Why you are loading me up? He says, uncle, take this. You must read this. Very good. I said, with apologies to my brothers and sisters. I said, look, uncle, this is very good. This, we give you this. How can I say no? Our Nabi said, and if a brother, sister, he gives you something in good faith, take it. It's an act of goodwill. Take it. So I take it. But how much can I carry? and I have to move. So I have to get rid of this surplus baggage. And still it's coming, and still it will come. I say, Ahlan Masan, let me have shukran, jazakallah. Yes, the amount of books that are written on this subcontinent, in Pakistan, books on Islam. They're flooding the place. Types and types of books, beautiful books. But I said, the awwal book, Allah's Kalam, we have it. Everybody has it. But it's a closed book. Meaning, as far as the message is concerned, nobody knows the message. Why aren't we activated to do something? Because we don't know the instruction. We read the instruction, we rattle off an instruction in a language we don't understand. Like in Chinese, for example, saying. Or in Zulu. If you are taught to read Zulu, you read Zulu without understanding a word. We, at 100 million Pakistanis, we are all learning the Quran, to read the Quran like a parrot. Like a parrot. We read it, and some of us, beautiful elocution, beautiful recitation. It moves us to ecstasy and tears when you listen to the recitation. But the man himself, he knows not a word of what he's reading. He doesn't know. So we complain. You see, he's Hafizul Quran. Iska chal to dekho. This guy is a double haji. Or dekho to say, you know, iska bank ka warsa kha jata hai. He's stealing his sister, robbing her sister of her inheritance. Because her husband will eat it up. So he's eating it up. Continuous. Double haji. Namazi. Panch waqt ka. Panch to kya? 10 waqt ka. Panch faraz bhi ada karta hai. Aur kehta hai chaus aur ishraq and shh. 5 others, 10 times a day the guy prays, and he doesn't think twice about robbing his brother of his rights. He doesn't. Why? What makes it so? Hypocrites? No. They're good people, they're sincere people, but they don't allow Allah Bari Ta'ala to speak to them. It's like a closed book. And the answer to our problems, this recitation, this addressing, talking to the world like mad people, this is all like talking like mad people. Kehta hai imam ki ya ayyuhallazina amanu jtanibu kathira min adh-dhann. That's what he was reading. For example, in the salat after surah Fatiha, ya ayyuhallazina amanu jtanibu kathira min adh-dhann. Say, oh, you who believe, eh iman walo, avoid of much of suspicion as possible. Inna ba'da dhanni ithmun, because in most cases suspicion is a sin. Wala tajassasu, and do not spy upon one another. Wala yaqtab ba'dukum ba'da, and do not backbite or slander one another. Ayyuhibbu ahadukum an ya'kula lahma akhihi maitan. Say, is there a single one of you, koi ek bhi tumhare mein aisa hai, ke jo khud ka mara hua bhai ka ghost khawe? Is there a single one of you who is prepared to eat the meat of his dead brother? Allah is asking the question. If you understood, ke sawal kar raha hai ke koi hai tumhare mein ek bhi aisa? Is there a single one of you? Tumhare mein koi hai ke khud ka mara hua bhai ka ghost kha aisa hai? Allah is asking us through the imam. Koi hai? And sab gunge behre, nobody is answering. We should all reply, la, 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 if in Arabic. Nahi, 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 koi nahi hai hamare mein se. But no. In the system Allah gave us, we can't interject the imam. You have to listen. So Allah Bari Ta'ala poses the question, and he himself gives the answer. Because he knows you can't answer. He doesn't want you to open your mouth. So he poses the question, is there a single one of you who is prepared to eat the meat of his dead brother? He says, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ نَهِ تُمْهِ كَرَحَتْ هُوْغِي نَهِ you will abhor it, you wouldn't like it. Even cannibals don't do that. Cannibals, people who eat other human beings, even they don't do that. They'll love your meat, my meat, but not his brother's meat, and his brother who is dead, carrion. Even cannibals don't do that. وَاتَّقُ اللَّهُ says, so fear Allah, stop it! إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Even now, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Jo ho gaya, so ho gaya. Don't do it anymore. As soon as they come out, It's a mashallah. You know, Imam sahab kaisa acha padhte the. Lovely voice is God. You know, he can breathe through his nose. Naak mein se padhta hai, naak mein se. Yes. When I was young, you know, people were praising people who had the defect in the nose. They can't breathe clear. They say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. So they think it's a great feat. Ah, mashallah, naak mein se padhta hai, naak mein se awaaz nikalta hai. To what extent we go, foolishness is, ke naak mein se awaaz nikal raha hai, mashallah. Yes, we praise all that. What is he saying? It's water on duck's back. So as soon as he come out, he says, you know, the imam, you know, he delivered a very good lecture. Yes, but you know, he smoked so many cigarettes. Is that what you're talking about? You know, but you see, the imam, you know, he's a Wahhabi hai. He's got a lambe kaan hai. You know, lambe kaan means he belongs to another school, you see. Endlessly backbiting, slandering, eating our dead brother's meat because the brother is not there to defend himself. That's like he's a dead brother. We are eating our dead brother's meat all the time and dead sister's meat all the time. And we have developed and created a taste for it. Like we eat chilies, mirchi khate hai, mirchi ka chutney. Yes. It's unnatural. But we love it. I love it too. You know, when the thing is no mirchi inside, it's insipid. Usme koi sawad nahi hai. I want a little kick. But you give the little child little mirchi, the child will die. It's not natural. Mirchi khana natural nahi hai. But we cultivate a taste for it. Chutney, chataka, usme hal, you know what you do. And to enslave your husband, you know what you do. So, we have cultivated a taste for eating our dead brother's meat, our dead sister's meat. Because when Allah is talking to us, nobody is hearing. We only hear the sound, the rhythm, the music of what is being read. Not the message. Why are we listening to the message? Because the system that was given to us, created for us, was a system for new converts, and we have not yet become Muslims. Ke Musalman hai? So when Allah is talking to us, we must understand what He's telling us. But no, nobody cares. And the irony is that the learned men of Pakistan, I just can't understand the learned men in South Africa. I'm trying to talk to, as if I'm talking to deaf ears. Nobody listens. I said, look, this system, tell me now what's wrong. There's something wrong with me. I'm telling you, this system is a beautiful system for new converts. Not for me, not for my child. He's listening. He won't answer. But he carries on, gadega jaisa. Still, like a donkey. He's not listening. He's carrying on. He listens to you, but he carries on. I don't know you, my daughters of Islam. Those people there, the men on the top there, I tell you, I see no hope in them. I see no hope in them. Wallah, look, they have been leading the community, the nation. They established Pakistan, they made sacrifices. But there's something wrong in their thinking. They are enslaved in their mentality to the alims. And the alim, he doesn't want you to become learned. Because as soon as you are a little more learned, you'll be asking questions. And we don't like people asking us questions. It makes me to think. You know, you pose me questions, problems. That means you're creating problems for me. Now, to find my way out is not pleasant. I don't want to bluff you, but at the same time I want to appear that I'm knowledgeable. I know what I'm talking about. So every time a question is thrown at me, it's making me to think. And there's a saying that if you want to make a person to hate you, make him think. This is one of the hardest of things, making a person to think. If you ask a man to dig a half acre of land, I tell you that thing, mar, his paper to turn the soil upside down, he can do it. No worry. But you create one little problem for him, he goes berserk, he wants to fight. Don't make him think. But I hope and I pray that my daughters are not of that nature. You will be able, inshallah, you know, you do a little thinking and he says, look, something has gone wrong. And you can change the men folk at home. You can. As I was quoting yesterday, I don't know when I was quoting to somebody, that women can do anything. The Frenchman says, women can do anything because they govern those who govern everything. They will, look, my house, my wife. I am the boss. You know, she's so frail, my wife. If you see her, we are married for about 40 years now. She's still the same. She hasn't lost a pound of weight and she hasn't gained a pound, 40 years. If you look at her, as compared to me, if I blow hard, she can blow away. That's what you think. She's tough. She's a farmer's daughter, so she has been working hard. But from the looks, you might be tempted. Don't make a mistake. But she's ruling. Wallah, she's ruling. Without her sympathy and kind permission, I couldn't be here. I can't be. I can't leave her without her cooperation. She says, go. I go. Of course, when I go back, I try to make up for it. You know, I'm her slave. I do everything to appease her, that, you know, she's happy, 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 so I can get another break. So I tell you now, I say, look, they're calling me Min Al-Ain, you know. Yes. Then she says, all right, dear, go. See? Actually, she's ruling. She's ruling. Anything, everything. In the house, what she wants, she gets it. What she wants to cook, she cooks. I said, look at this, like that. I said, this is all right. You take it. You eat it. It's good for you. Look, this is so. You have the art. Allah has given us, you know. You don't have to fight with physical strength, no. But with the tongue, with persuasion, with softness, you can rule the man. And there's so many ways of captivating him and enslaving him. And one way is through the stomach. Through the stomach. You see, I read a book. I have a second-hand book I came across. The title of the book was Feed the Brute. Usko brute yani janavar ko khilao. It says nice, nice recipes, you know. That book gave nice, nice, beautiful recipes. In other words, now, nice, give him good, good things. You know, hum bhajia khilate hain, samosa, halwa. Shh. Once you do that, he won't be wanting to run to the hotels, eating in the streets, you know. No, no, no. Enslave him. And he can be enslaved. This is his nature. Allah made us, you know. We are strong. He just gives him, oh yes, you are the boss. But, as the saying goes, you know, I think Shakespeare said it, she stoops to conquer. She stoops to conquer. She humbles herself and he said, Lord, what shall we do? So I said, all right, I tell my wife, where you want to go? You want to go to my relations or your relations? You tell me. She says, her relations. I'm nearer my cities where I was situated, nearer to my people. But every time I'm going to her people, why? I want to make her happy because she's making me happy. She's actually enslaved me, but I'm the boss. The whole world thinks I'm the boss. So with these few words, I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity. And I hope that at question time, you don't ask me such embarrassing questions that, you know, I might feel, you know, uncomfortable. With these words, I say Jazakallah for this opportunity, and I look forward to further opportunities of talking and sharing with you my thoughts. Jazakallah with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, now we are not, sorry, ladies, you are allowed to ask questions. We have a mic here in the center. And every person is allowed to ask only one question at a time. You'll ask the question and then go back to your seat before you are answered. This is, if the gents want to ask a question, they are allowed to write down the question, give it to one of our volunteers and send it down.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Asha Pandit, but I am a Muslim even though my surname is Pandit. What I wanted to ask was that I study in the St. Joseph College and it's many Christians are there. When I ask them, why do you believe in this Trinity, they say that suppose you take three drops of water and you just combine them together, they become one. I don't know how to answer back to them. So what should I say to them?
For water? No, no, no. This Father is different. Son in the mind is different. And the Holy Ghost is different. Whatever it is. But it's different, different, different pictures. In the name of the Father and the Son, or Uska Beta, and the Holy Ghost, Ruhul Quds, whatever it is. So there are three distinct mental pictures. In the mind, when you say with your mouth, in the mind they are creating different images. When I say in the name of the Father, I'm asking him, are you thinking of the Son? No. When you say and the Son, do you think of the Holy Ghost? He says no. So I said, can you see now? Unless you are a diseased, a lunatic. He's thinking of the Father, but he's thinking of his Son. So when he says Father, he's thinking of the Son. He's taking the name of his wife, but he's thinking his daughter is his wife. No? So, his mother is different, his wife is different, his daughter is different. You can't mix up. When you say mother, wife, daughter, three, they're all females, no doubt. But they are distinct, different things. So, where is this unity? In your mind, I say, you got three. He says, no. You see, the person somehow or other, he's got to, because if he says yes, it implies that he's worshipping three gods. So he says, no, he's got only one. I said, do me a favor. See, I did it. You see, I am a guide to the mosque in the Juma Masjid Durban. Guide. When tourists, visitors come, I take them around. I explain to them what goes on. And I answer their questions. So there was a European, South African, European, an Afrikaner, the people who are ruling us, with his wife and children. They came during the school holidays to look at the mosque. So as I explain everything about taking off the shoes, making wudu, how we make salat, then question, they ask question. He said, this God of yours, this Allah, what does he look like? Because we see nothing there. I see some calligraphy there, some calligraphy there, but there's no picture, no image, no statue, nothing. And there's nothing in the mosque, in the masjid. What does this Allah of yours look like? I says, no, we have no mental pictures. We don't visualize God. When we stand up for prayer, we pray like this. As our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ka'annaka tarahu. When you stand before him, you stand as if thou seest him. Though you see him not, he sees you. I said, that is the nearest we come into our relationship with him, approximation to him. We do not think of him in any form, shape or size. Laysa kamislihi shay. There is nothing is like the likeness of him that can be imagined. He says, no, you must have a certain mental picture. So that gave me an idea. I said, yes, maybe you have. I said, when you pray, how do you pray? And I answered for him. See, I'm posing the question. When you pray, how do you pray? I said, you pray like this, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? He said, right. I said, when you say in the name of the Father, you are thinking of old Father Christmas, sitting on some planet, with his feet dangling onto the earth at his footstool, and the heaven as his canopy. Now this is all biblical, from the Bible. All this thing I'm quoting, I'm only taking from their language. The wordings are all from there. The heaven is his canopy, the earth is his footstool, the heaven millions and millions of times bigger than man, but something like a man. When you say God the Son, I say, what are you thinking of? A prize bull or a false wahan? No, nothing like that. I say, handsome young man, blonde hair, blue eyes, handsome features, blue eyes, like what you saw in the King of Kings, I'm telling him. There is a film called King of Kings, Jesus. Day of Triumph, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus. You see, films. They have seen these films. So you think of him, in one of these, Jeffrey Hunter was acting. Jeffrey Hunter, you see, with blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, handsome features, straight nose, not with a poly nose, you know, at the Popatia Nak. Not with that, a straight nose like a German, or like a Norwegian, or a Swede, or an Englishman, not like a Jew with a hooked nose. You know what Jesus looks like. Then when you say, and the Holy Ghost, I said, what are you thinking of? I said, the Holy Ghost, you read in the book, something that came like a dove, like kabutar, from heaven, in the shape of a dove, and when Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist, or something that came in flames of fire at Pentecost. I said, the picture is not very vivid, but the picture is there. I said, you have three distinct mental pictures. The Father is different, the Son is different, and the Holy Ghost is different. He says, no. See, if the man is trying to be impossible, he can. He says, no. I said, look, do me a favor. Please close your eyes. And when I say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, honestly, I want you to tell me how many mental pictures you have. So when I pose the question, the children, school children, who are with him, with the family, mother, father and mother, they had school children. So the children thought they had the answer. It's so clear, so vivid. I said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, how many mental pictures have you got? So the children, they said, all together, three! And the mosque re-vibrated, echoed, you see, because it was empty at the time. Three! And if looks could kill, they all would have been dead. Because the parents didn't want to hear such words coming out from the children's mouth. And this was all God sent. So I'm telling them, I said, look, you know what Jesus said? He said, except ye be as one of these little ones, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. I said, what did he want you to be? As silly as they are sometimes? As naughty as they are sometimes? No. Jesus said, you must be as simple and as sincere as they are. If the child sees three pictures, he'll tell you he sees three pictures. He's not afraid that he will get caught out or what not. He's honest. So I said, you see, now the child can see, but you can't because you don't want to admit. So it's a sickness. Allah tells us in clear-cut language in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. Don't say Trinity. إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. This is, stop it, it'll be better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. For your Allah is one Allah, He's not three in one, and He's not one in three. And Jesus never taught this. It's not in His book. The word Trinity is not to be found in the Bible. The whole encyclopedia of 66 books, the word Trinity is not there. Amazing thing. The fundamental of their faith, that word itself is not there. But I said, you know what? That word is in the Quran. Amazing. The religion that says no Trinity, the word Trinity is in the Quran, but the Trinity is not in the Bible. But in the Quran, it says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. Don't say Trinity. But the word Trinity is there in the Quran. The Bible even hasn't got that. I hope. You know, you get some of these tapes of mine. And it's continuously, these things are going on, you know, with the Christians coming along and posing questions, and we are answering. You can learn something. There was at one time, one of my meetings, I went to the Cape province. In South Africa, we have four provinces. Like Pakistan has four provinces. We have four provinces. So I was in one of these provinces, and I was lecturing at a place called Wynberg Town Hall in the Cape. And at question time, one white man, he came up questioning, and he was asking deep searching questions. And every question I answered, he used that to develop another question. That answer, he developed another question. And from this questioning, I realized that he is no ordinary person. It's not easy that from an answer you develop a question. From the answer again, you develop another question. So I whispered to the chairman, I said, please ask the gentleman who he is. We'd like to know that he's asking such deep and searching questions. So the chairman asked, and he said, I'm Professor van der Merwe from the University of Stellenbosch, the headquarters of this Dutch Reformed Church institution, and I'm the professor of theology. Now we know his work, you see, he's a great man, big man, the biggest man in the Stellenbosch University on theology. And after a few questions, a colored gentleman, colored is a mixture between black and white, you know, like you have Anglo-Indians, you call them here, and a mixture between the Asiatic and the European, you call him Anglo-Indian. The African and white mixture, we call it colored. So there was a colored priest. He came up. He says, Mr. Didat, you people don't believe in the Holy Trinity, but what have you to say about the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's there in his book. He said, what about this? It's there in my Bible. Fortunately, Professor van der Merwe was there. So I got up to answer. I said, look, we are very, very fortunate that Professor van der Merwe is here with us today. So whatever I'm going to tell you, I'm not pulling a fast one on you. The professor will confirm whether I'm speaking the truth or not. I said, Professor, you see the verse he has quoted for the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7. This is in the Roman Catholic version of the Bible, He said, yes. It is in the authorized King James of the version of the Bible. He said, yes. But as is now taken out from all modern translation as a fabrication. As a fabrication, as an interpolation, as an adulteration. It's thrown out. It's not there anymore. Is it true? He said, yes. I said, you see, the reason is that this Trinity, in the ancient manuscript, this verse was not there. But a certain vigilance of Thapsus in the 6th century, in his manuscript he made a marginal note for his own edification, a marginal note in his own handwriting. But when they gave these manuscripts for reproduction, the marginal note became a part of the text. The word of a vigilance of Thapsus, not the word of God, not the word of John, who supposed to have written this epistle. So now your learned men realize that this is a fabrication. It's an interpolation, and they threw it out. Is it true? He said, yes. He says, thank you very much. So you see, now it depends now upon the type of knowledge, understanding this person you're talking to has. At times, you are talking to the wall. But even then, you can crack his skull, you know, with a few facts. Inshallah. Any other questions?
My name is Nuvera. I want to ask one question. We believe that the word of God delivered to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Hazrat Jibrail alaihi salam. But how were the words were delivered to Hazrat Isa and Hazrat Musa alaihi salam to the same person? I mean, Farishta or who?
I think
I was confused, sir. So I wanted to ask this.
I think what I understand is this: that you'd like to know.
Yes.
That the revelation, the wahi, given to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Jibreel alaihi salam was given in word form.
Yes.
And how was it given to Hazrat Isa alaihi salam and Musa alaihi salam?
Exactly, yes.
Is that the question? See, we have no definite knowledge about how Hazrat Musa alaihi salam and Hazrat Isa alaihi salam were inspired. Whether they had thoughts, ideas were being put into the mind, which they articulated, or whether it was given in word form. But whatever it was, the one thing we know, that whatever is attributed to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is not a first-hand wording. In other words, that Allah told me to tell you. It's not like that. It is in the third person, somebody else writing, that the Lord, God Almighty, said unto Moses, and Moses said unto the Lord. There's a different, on a different level. It's not Allah talking, it's not Musa alayhi salam talking. Same thing to Jesus. Nowhere does Jesus say, the Lord said unto me. Even as the records, as they preserve it, the very first experience we hear, that when Jesus was being baptized in the river Jordan, according to the holy scripture of the Christians, a voice was heard from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So they say, a voice was heard from heaven. So he was not even talking to Jesus. Yes? He's not saying, you are my son and I am well pleased with you. He said, this is my, telling somebody else like, telling you people, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So it's again in the third person. Jesus is not talking, and of course nobody heard God talking about this. So it's on a different level altogether. Our Nabi Karim, every word in the Quran was given verbally. Like Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, or the first revelation. Iqra, Iqra means read. We know that it was the 27th of the month of Ramadan. He was about 40 years old, our Nabi Karim. He was in a cave some 3 miles south of the city of Mecca, north of the city of Mecca, Ghar al-Hira, subsequently known as Jabal al-Nur. And the angel of God comes and tells him in his mother tongue, Iqra, read, paho. And he being unlearned, he says, Ma ana biqari'in. He said, I'm not learned. So the angel of God commands him a second time, Iqra, read. And again he pleads. He says, Ma ana biqari'in. For the third time, the angel of God says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So now he grasps, our Nabi, he grasps that what he was required to do was to repeat. Because this Arabic word Iqra means to read, to recite, to rehearse, to repeat. So he repeated the words. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So read in the name of the Lord and Cherisher who created. So our Nabi said, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. The angel said, Khalaqal insana min alaq. Say, he who created man from a mere clot of congealed blood. So our Nabi said, Khalaqal insana min alaq. Say, Iqra wa rabbukal akram. So read, and the Lord is most bountiful. So our Nabi said, Iqra wa rabbukal akram. Say, Alladhi allama bil kalam. Say, he who taught the use of the pen. So he says, Alladhi allama bil kalam. Say, Allama al insana ma lam ya'lam. Say, taught man that which he knew not. So he says, Allama al insana ma lam ya'lam. As soon as the angel departed, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, terrified, sweating all over, he runs home to his dear wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadijatul Kubra, and he says, cover me up, cover me up. And you know the whole story. But now you open the Quran, these five verses are the beginning of Surah Al-Alaq, chapter 96 in the Quran. Surah Al-Alaq means the clot. You don't find there that he was in a cave, some 3 miles north of the city of Makkah. You don't find there it was the 27th of the month of Ramadan and that he was about 40 years old. You don't find there that he saw the angel and he was terrified and that the angel commanded him, Iqra, and he said, Ma ana biqarin, and the angel says again, Iqra, and he says, Ma ana biqarin, and he says again, Iqra bismi rabbik. Nothing there. The only thing is Allah's kalam, what was given is there. All the other things are details that we learn from history, from tradition, from what the Nabi said and what we have got recorded. So you see, the Quran is preserved on a unique level. Only Allah's kalam, the Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad I was speaking about. You won't find there that our Nabi was in Medina, in the masjid, and the Christians had come, and they were arguing and debating. And all the details I gave you is from traditions, from history. It is not in the Quran. The Quran only says, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid, Walam Yulad, Walam Yakul. That's all. So this is what the words that were given to him, that is what we have preserved. The other scriptures, they haven't got any such thing. Even materially, there is no such thing available.
Doubt, some weaknesses in the educational system. You never made any recommendations or for rectification of such a system. And that is the way we've been taught. But now, in the absence of such a system, what do you suggest is the way we learn to imbibe and absorb deen in the most effective way possible?
The Quran.
Yes.
Yes. I think I understood it correctly, that in the absence of that system, our system is wrong, we admit. The system of teaching Arabic is wrong. Now, in the absence of that system, what is the second best? You see, if we can understand Allah's kalam direct, there is no better way. Direct means if you can understand the Arabic. When Allah is talking to us, we understand in the language that Allah is talking. There's nothing, no substitute for that. But the second best is a translation. The second best is a translation. If you understand Urdu better than any other language, get an Urdu translation. If you understand Sindhi better than any other language, get a Sindhi translation. If you understand Gujarati better than any other language, I say, get a Gujarati translation. Whatever language you understand best, get a translation in that language. That is second best. But you, my child, you speak English so beautifully. For you, despite, maybe you understand Urdu better than that even. Get an Urdu translation, but an English translation is imperative. It will improve your English, this translation. Then everything on your fingertips, and the language, the terminology, you'll get the right terminology to speak to others. You see, at times we understand, I'm telling the Arabs, I say, look, you don't need a translation. That's your mother tongue. But if you aspire to talk, to share with a non-Muslim who's English speaking, then you won't have the right terms. So I said, look, what you do, you also need a translation. Though you read from the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. He said, Wa is qalatil malaikatu ya Maryamu. Now you understand. I said, you understand what it means. I'm telling the Arab. But now how are you going to explain to the fellow? So you start using your own words. He says, you see, the angel said to Mary, so, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَحَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَىٰ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. So he said, you see Allah, you know, he likes her very much, he is choosing her, and you're talking like that, it appears that Allah is talking like that. So, if you have a translation, you learn the translation as, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. So behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ, that God Almighty has chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Now when you learn like that, you're using the right terms. Now this using of the correct terms will improve your vocabulary, will improve your construction of sentences. And I'm telling people, our people, I said, look, you don't have to read Shakespeare or Milton to improve your English even. This book will do the job. You know, what things it will do for you. Allah's kalam is there, verse by verse translation. If you read so many times, passively you'll be understanding Arabic, even if you didn't learn Arabic as a language. You know, the way I'm reading, I seem to understand what I'm reading. You notice that I seem to understand what I'm reading. How did I get it? I didn't learn Arabic. It's the translation. Because using the translation side by side with the verses, you want to see? Yes. Oh yes. This translation, I'm sure, I didn't have the time to make sure, but this was printed in Lahore. It is available by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. The language as if it's inspired, the English, even the English seems to be inspired. This man Abdullah Yusuf Ali, when the Westerner, when he reads it, he can't believe that an Oriental could have written that English even. The English is superb and is a substance also. This is the only translation, the English speaking person, if he starts sitting alone and start reading, tears will start rolling down his eyes. Tears, because it's coming from the heart. You know, as our shair says, dil se jo baat nikalti hai asar rakhti hai par nahi taqat e parwaz magar rakhti hai. It's coming from the heart, so it moves people's hearts. Other people, they write from the head, beautiful ideas, so it tickles the brain, very nice, beautiful, but it doesn't move you. This one moves you. Get it? And it's cheap. Wallah, it's very cheap. Yes, my sister.
And about the recommendations for the rectification of the educational system,
I didn't understand.
For recommendations for the improvement of the existing educational system.
The idea is that we must start learning language Arabic as we learn other languages. How do you learn other languages? See, when I went to school, direct method, I didn't know English. I was born in India. I go to South Africa. I go to school. So they start teaching me BAT BAT, CAT CAT, MAT MAT, RAT RAT. So I understand what is bat, what is rat, what is mat, what is cat. Immediately I know what they're talking about. I see a kitty, I see a ball. I understand. Kya kehte hai, I see a kitty ki billi dekhta hu, main ball dekhta hu. I understand. But here I read the whole Quran, the Hafiz al-Quran, the Qari, he recites, rattles it up and he doesn't understand one word. So the system is the system you should use for any language. Why Arabic you make it separate, different? And this is the reason. Why should it be a unique, disgraceful language to learn? It's a unique disgrace. Only language on earth that we learn without understanding a word. There's no other language on earth. You want to learn Zulu? From the word go, you understand every word. You want to learn French? From the word go at school, you'll understand every word that you're reading. This is the only language. Allah's kalam, the whole book, you rattle it off and you don't understand a word. Unique disgrace. I say, it's about time that you spoke to your father and said, look, daddy, do something about it. Go and talk to the Maulvis, you know, to change the system.
Thank you.
My name is Safia Khairi. I would like to ask a question on your speech when you were speaking about the Prophet being an Ummi. You said the people of Arabia were Ummis too. Maybe I didn't understand it very well, but as far back as I can think, I read that during that time, you know, there used to be a bazaar called Ukaz in the Kaaba, where they used to come with their best verses, and they were very versatile. As a matter of fact, most of the, you know, Quraysh sheikhs, chiefs, were all very learned people as such. So I was just wondering if you could explain what you meant by that.
I will. The Arabs were an Ummi people, meaning as a people they were illiterate. They didn't know how to read or write. At the time of our Nabi, there were only about half a dozen people in the whole of Arabia who could read and write. Among them was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was one of those. With regards to poetry, you don't have to read or write to speak poetry. You know, it's your mother tongue. And they're talking and talking and talking, and they say we are an eloquent people. They were very eloquent.
See, Arab means eloquent. Ajam means dumb. They said, we are the Arabs, we are the eloquent people, and the rest of the world is Ajam. Ajam means dumb compared to us. We can, in our language, the Arab boasted, can give you 100 different words for a sword, talwar ke liye. 100 different synonyms. We can give you 100 different synonyms for a horse. How many can you give in your language? Any other language group? The guy says, half a dozen. He said, you see, compared to us, you are dumb. So a person who knows his language, he's got ideas, he can rattle it off. Beautiful verses. You don't have to read or write. The people as a nation, they were illiterate. Like we would say, Pakistan. This morning I'm reading in the newspaper that only 5% of our women folk are literate. Overall, there's a 26% of the Pakistanis are literate. So I said, this nation is an illiterate nation. Our women folk as a whole are illiterate. But I said, look, we daughters of Islam, we are 100%, you know, we are literate. I said, mashallah. But when I say Pakistani women as a whole are illiterate, I'm speaking the truth. Although the daughters of Islam, 100% literacy. Now you see, this is a little fragment from somewhere. He said, now look, alhamdulillah, you are all literate. But when we talking about Pakistan, we thinking of the whole nation, our peasants, our workers, and everybody in it. He said, only 5% of women folk are literate. That's this morning's paper, in the Dawn. I read it. Somebody made some mention, you see. So that's how we talk. The nation as a whole, and Ummi people, and our Nabi, and Ummi prophet. One, and that's how the Jews and the Christians, they look down upon them. They say, you illiterate people, you barbarians. Therefore, Allah Bari Ta'ala is flattering them. So, all right, you, Ahl al-Kitab, oh people with the scripture, come now. Ta'alaw, come. Can you see now? This is not because they're boasting as against the Arabs. We are learned, you are jahil log. Ummi, all right. Learned people, out. Hum baat karenge. So, as a people as a whole, they were illiterate.
Sir, being a student of St. Joseph's College, I just wanted to ask a simple question. It's very simple. That's it, that in our college, though it's nationalized now, but still on the top of the building and in certain rooms in which we have classes and sometimes classes of Islamiyat even, there's this sign of Trinity, the cross, stung on the walls. So does it make any difference being Muslims? Should we do anything about it or...
You see, the Muslim themselves have become so emasculated. The Muslims, we are, you see, you go to Bharat, I don't know, in Bharat, where they'll give you the facilities, like in Indonesia, you know, it's a Muslim nation, you can't even say Allah. You can't have a society with the word Islamic. Islamic is taboo, it's forbidden. The word Allah, you can't use it. You must say Tuhan, in the language of the Indonesian. This is Pakistan, we don't have to go to that extreme. But I can't see any reason why the Pakistanis can't have universities and schools of their own. Why can't you have your own? That we have to send our children to mission schools, and they are getting brainwashed, getting programmed, even if they're not converted. It's the nature of man, you know, the way they woo us, and they respect us, and they talk to us. They say, no, the Christians are very good people. The hearts are opening out to them. So as soon as somebody comes along and says, you must tell them, wala takulu salasa, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because now it's creating bad feeling. You say, lakat kafara allazina qalu inna Allah wal masih ibn Maryam. Anyone who says that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God, is making kufr. It's an act of blasphemy. It's an act of treason against Allah. So, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحِ But Masih نے کہا يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ O Israel کے بچوں لَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Worship Allah رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ کہ جو میرا رب ہے اور تمہارا رب ہے إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ جو کوئی اللہ کے ساتھ کسی کو شریک کرے گا فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ لِلْجَنَّةِ Can you tell them? No. Why can't you? Because you are obligated. So you put yourself into that position and now we want to know how to fight. Like me, tying your hands. I say, come on, fight. Tie your tongue, close your mouth, zip your mouth and say, come on, talk. This is what is happening to us, you see. So it is the powers that be, the people who are in power, they must think and plan. They said, look, we must have institutions of our own, hospital, you can afford it. There are millionaires and billionaires here. Go and approach them, talk to them. In the Father's name, let it be Bhawani's University or let it be Adamji's University, whatever it is. Come on, man. What are you doing with those billions sitting on it like a... like a cobra on a pile of wealth. What are you doing with your money? Yeah? No, it's for you, my child. you must talk to your father, your brother, immediate surroundings. I said, look, what is wrong? Look, we have to go through this because of the education we are getting. But now, why can't we talk, and inshallah, it will reach the people in time that they'll do something. First chance, this is the ladies' meeting. You have enough of me in the other meetings.
There's this modern trend that all the religions teach good things and forbid evils. And the basic thing is that we must have good ikhlaq, good relations with others. So how can we talk about this? How can we say that Islam is different in this sense? And the other question is, you've been giving a lot of emphasis on Arabic language, that we must know the Arabic. What about the Arabs who know the Arabic language? Such an embarrassing thing to see a sheikh acting like that. And then another
I think one at a time. Let's see. What was the first one?
All the religions teaching the good things. Right.
You see, every religion says do good. There's no doubt about that. Not one religion says commit adultery. Not one religion says steal or kill people. Nobody says that. Then how is it that we can say that, look, Islam is the culmination, is the highest point of all religions? It is on the very teachings. You see, each religion was the fittest religion for its time. It was the perfect, it was complete, and yet incomplete. Like our education. You see, in my country, I go up to standard 6 in certain schools, standard 6, what you call 8th year. And then I have to change school. Up to standard 6, I get a certificate called primary school certificate. So if I pass that, I am perfect as far as standard 6 is concerned, the 8th grade, I am perfect, and yet I am imperfect, because now still there is further steps to go. So I go to a high school, we call it a college. And in the college, I go up to matric. When I pass matric, it's perfect, complete, and yet incomplete. Now you see, it's complete up to matric, but it's still incomplete. Then I go to university, and I take whatever lines that I want to take. Now you see. So at every stage, it's complete and incomplete. It's complete and incomplete. So same thing with religion. Allah Bari Ta'ala gave, in the system of religions, we talk about Judaism, Christianity and Islam. These are three sister religions. What Allah gave to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was perfect, complete and incomplete. Then by the time Isa alayhi salam came, he came as a reformer among the Jews. So what Allah gave him was complete for his people, for their needs, and yet incomplete. It's only in the dispensation of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that through our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gives a final complete revelation, and he says in the book, he says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum, this day I have perfected for you for your religion, wa atmamtu alaykum na'mati, and I have completed my favors unto you, wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-deena, and I will that Islam should be your religion. So now it's complete, perfected. Once it's perfected and complete, you can't add anything more. Anything else added to it is an abnormality. Like this hand, look at this, perfect. You can't add another thumb to improve it. You can't add another little finger or 10 fingers to improve it. Complete. Anything you now add to this is an abnormality. Same thing to the teachings as given by Allah Bari Ta'ala, is a complete code for all times. But it was not so with Musa alayhi salam. It was not so with Isa alayhi salam. You see, for their needs, perfect. But it was incomplete. For the times of Jesus, whatever was given was perfect for the needs, but it was incomplete. That's how it is. And what was the second thing?
Arabs, they speak the language, but still.
The Arabs and the Arabs, yeah. Yes, it's an anomaly that now, look, the Arab is supposed to understand his language. The Arab, that's his language. But he seems to have also lost the spirit behind the Quran. He is also reading for beautification, for sawab. Say, I meet these Arabs. I meet them, I talk to them, and I'm asking them. You see, like in Kuwait, when I went to Kuwait, I saw, as I landed, the man who comes to pick me up from the ministry, sitting with me in the front. I'm asking him, what is your name? So he said, my name is Yusuf. I said, Yusuf? Ah, my younger son is Yusuf. And you know, you're like a son to me, like my son is Yusuf. So my companion who had been to Kuwait before, he whispers to me that he's a Lebanese Christian. I said, oh, in other words, you better change the tune. You know, he's not what you're thinking. I go to the hotel, 5-star hotel. I see the receptionist. From his complexion and dial, I can make out he's a Hindi man from the subcontinent. So I'm asking him, where you come from? So he said, India. I said, where about? He said, Bombay. I said, you speak Gujarati? He says, no. I said, that's funny. I come from Bombay and I can speak Gujarati. How is it that you come from Bombay and you can't speak Gujarati? He said, no, I'm a Goanese Christian. I said, oh, name Stephen. I sit down to eat. The waiter comes. Another Hindi. Name Paul. So I asked him, I said, you Paul? He said, yes. I said, robbing Peter to pay Paul, huh? Just a joke, you see. He said, no, my father is Peter. I said, oh. Christian, Christian, Christian. He's eating the cream of the land. When my brothers in Pakistan are hungry for jobs, my brothers in the Sudan, in Egypt are hungry for jobs, in India are hungry for jobs, and the Christian is eating the cream of the land. So, I speak to these people, this younger generation. I says, you know, when I came, this is what I saw. I said, look, you haven't got the guts. You haven't got the spirit to go and find customers for Islam. You can't go to Borneo. You can't go to the Amazon. You can't go to China. You can't go to Russia. You know, you're all too soft. You can't move anywhere. So Allah is making things easy for you. He's sending customers to your door, to your homes, looking for jobs. Why don't you talk to them? So the Arab tells me now, he said, La ikraha fid din. He's quoting the Quran. Shaitan quoting the Quran. They said the devil's quoting scripture. He is a Muslim. He's an Arab. He's telling me what the Quran says. He said, La ikraha fid din. It means there is no compulsion in religion. I said, who's talking about compulsion? I'm not telling you to force Islam down their throats. You, I said, 100 million, you can't extricate 1 square inch of land from the mouth of the Jew by force. Am I going to tell you, go and force the Americans to become Muslims, force the Chinese to become Muslims, force the Russians? Who's talking about force? Another guy, I tell him, he said, Lakum deenukum waliya deen. He's quoting the Quran, the shaitan. I said, you know, look, this is as a last resort when everything fails. You try. And when that guy says, hey, I'll put a knife through you, then Allah tells you to tell them, وَإِذَا خَاتُمُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When you meet the ignorant one, say, peace. وَتُمْ تُمَارَ رَاسْتَ هَمْ هَمَارَ رَاسْتَ. That is as a last resort. If our Nabi started with that, there would have been no problem. If he started with that, we wouldn't have been Muslims today. But you see, he has lost the whole thing. But there's one thing good about the Arab. I'm hammering him, wallah, I'm hammering him. And I tell you, he loves it. This is the beauty of it. He loves it because he knows it's coming from the heart. When I hit him, it's hurting me too. He knows that, look, I'm not trying to score points on him to say, look, you are fools and I'm a clever man. I'm telling him, he says, look, this is what we find ourselves in. And it's about time I say, you woke up and you did something. Allah has given you a second inning. I'm telling them, second inning. And if you don't come right, I says, you'll be destroyed for good. You won't get a third chance. And so I terrify the guy. And but he loves it, you see. But he has also lost touch with the Quran. For 1,000 years we didn't propagate, so we lost the art. And once you lose the art of talking, preaching, inviting people. Once you lose the art, you don't know how to open your mouth, so you don't open the mouth. I say, it's about time you learn the techniques, how to start with the people. So this is my field, you see. I'm in it. I want to share with people how to start with the Jew, how to start with the Christian, how to start with the Hindu, how to talk to the atheist, the agnostic. How to do it is so easy. Allah is teaching you in the Quran, but nobody really reads the Quran. That's the saddest part. Nobody really, not even the Maulvi. Not even the Alim, the Maulana, he doesn't read it. He's rattling it off. You know, par jata hai, khatam kar jata hai, khatam karte hai sab. But nobody really reads it. And I'm telling the guy, I say, you're not reading it. And somehow, look, I'm not learned, wallah. You know, I'm a furniture salesman. But you see, what has happened is, somehow because I'm talking, these people, you know, the Arabs, they called me and gave me a prize, King Faisal prize. So everybody thinks now, I'm some great guy. So now they are prepared to listen to me. Junejo is want to see me tomorrow. Day after tomorrow, Zia wants to see me. For what, I don't know.
A question. My name is Samina Tariq. I'm a medical student.
What I wanted to ask is about the word doubt in Quran. Quran says you should not have doubts. But until and unless we don't have doubts, we don't have shak, we can't have yakin. So we have to ponder different aspects of a particular concept or a particular thing to find out what the matter is about and to come to some conclusions. And unless you haven't come to a conclusion, you can't really have definite faith on it. You can't have the yakin. So is doubt not right? I mean, to think about a thing, to ponder how, why, is that wrong? That's my question.
No, it is not wrong to question. Allah says in the Quran again and again, say this Quran, these verses he recites and says, Allahum yatafakkaroon. This is for the people who think, people who ponder, people who cogitate upon, again and again. And asking questions. There's nothing wrong with it. You see, nothing wrong with asking questions. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, a prophet of God, Khalilullah, Allah's friend. Allah tells us about him in the Quran. So, wa is qala Ibrahimu, and behold, Abraham said, Rabbi arini, kaifa tuhyil mawta. Say, oh my Lord, show me how you're going to give life back to the dead. A prophet of God, Allah's friend, is asking Allah, Rabbi arini kaifa tuhyil mawta. How are you going to give life back to the dead? So Allah is asking him, qala wa lam tu'min, why don't you believe? He says, qalu bala. He says, I do. Walakin litatma'inna qalbi, but for the satisfaction of my heart. I want you to tell me how you're going to give life back to the dead. And Allah appeases him. He gives it to him. In other words, this is his way. He is not like what we think Allah is. He says, hey, you don't believe in me, I'll put you into hell. No, no. He doesn't say that. He's reasoning with you. He's reasoning with us. If you allow Allah to talk to you. He says, kaifa takfuruna billahi. He says, how can you not believe in Allah? He's reasoning with you, pleading with you. How can you not believe in him? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, seeing that you were non-existent, you were dead, you didn't exist. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, and you brought you into being. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, will cause you to die. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, will bring you back to life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and to him will be your return. How can you not believe in him? Look, he is not like a tyrant. You know, ready there, looking for excuse to destroy you. No, no, no. He wants you to talk, to think, to reason, to ponder over his creation. Look at it. He wants to do that. But now, when we are asking our learned men some of these questions, this is because they haven't got the answer. The best way is to shut you up. You know, you're going to go to hell, jahannam mein jayegi. To mandi nahi. So the best thing is to keep quiet. By jahannam hame nahi jana hai. This is it. But Allah wants you to think. He says that. He wants you to ask. He wants you to ponder. Ask Allah to help and He will help you. Inshallah. This doubts creeping in, nothing wrong with it. Even the Sahabas, they were complaining to our Nabi. He said, you know, when we stand up for Salat, Allahu Akbar, he says, you know, thoughts, doubts start creeping in our minds. What shall we do? He said, you keep on praying. Allah will put it right. You know, said, oh, since now my mind is wandering off, I said, what's good of praying? No, no, no. You keep on, inshallah, over a period, you'll be better disciplined. It'll come right. But this is the spirit of Allah, Allah and His Quran.
Unfortunately, there is a great divide in our women on parda issue. One says, and I don't know why it is, I mean, it's very clearly written there. Probably when you will say something about parda, it might sort of have bridged the gap between the two very widely apart section in Muslim women, especially in Pakistan. Could you please comment on something on parda?
You see, that is this working, yes. The type of parda, I understand, is this parda that I see before me. My wife, my daughter, this is the type of things that we have. You see, and there are people who go to extremes, you know. So now, look, I mustn't see anything at all about you all.
I said, right. But then what about, I said, this woman from inside that cloak, she is looking at me. Huh? Is it right? No, she's seeing, she can feast on me, she's going through me, you know, with her eyes. Is it right? I can't see anything but a cloak, you know, right? But she's seeing me. She's seeing every hair of mine in the beard that's standing out and all that, you know, my eyes, my teeth and everything, and she's, you know, so things are going through her mind. I said, should we, you know, take out the eyes? Women, take the eyes out that they can't see men. No, I think it's going a bit too far. I don't know. But I will not, as a fatwa, tell you anything. But to me, you all my daughters, you are just like my wife and my children at home. Same type of thing. And I don't know, I seem to be satisfied. I'm satisfied with this. So I'm very happy. With the rest, I don't know. Let them start debating and questioning. I don't know. Let them fight. I'm not a Maulvi or an alim to give fatwa. But to me, this is acceptable.
We're really grateful to you for giving us so much knowledge about the Christian faith, but most Westerners get so scandalized if you start talking about religion or politics. What do you think is a safe way to approach them about, you know, religious issues or about their faith?
You see, the best way is, as I was telling, find common grounds. Common grounds. And this is what Allah is telling us in the Quran. He says, "Qul," tell them, "Ya ahl al-kitab, O people of the book, Jews and Christians, ta'ala, come, ila kalimatin sawa'im baynana wa baynakum, that we come to common terms as between us and you. Let us get onto a common platform." You start from a common base. And Allah tells you what you should talk about. Number one, about Allah, Allah na'buda illallah wa la nushrika bihi shay, and so on. But this principle of finding common ground is such a beautiful system that the person is cooperating with you. Common ground. Start from common base. I said, even with the atheist, you know, person who don't believe in God, we say he's a kafir. I don't know what you say in Urdu for an atheist. Kya kehte hain? Atheist. Don who doesn't believe in God. What do you say in Urdu? A guy is an atheist, he says there's no God. Now that he is supposed to be the greatest enemy. He is supposed to be the greatest enemy of deen. The man says there is no God. Look, the Jews say there is God, the Christians say there is God, the Hindus say there is God. Here is a person, Dahriya, he said there is no God. And I am telling you, find common grounds with him also. Anybody. This is a beautiful principle. Allah says with the Jew and Christian, but it can be extended to anybody, everybody. Common grounds. So how do you find common grounds with the atheist? One who doesn't believe in Allah. How can you have anything in common? I said, look, if you know his background, very easy. You see, I come across Westerners. I ask them, what church you belong to? This is also very innocent. What church? Because among the Christians in South Africa, among the whites, there are 1,000 different churches and denominations. Among the blacks, there are 3,000 different sects and denominations. So, among of Christians. And they're always asking one another, what church you belong to? What church you belong to? Are you a Jehovah's Witness? Are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Are you a Mennonite? Are you a Christadelphian? Are you a Roman Catholic? Are you a... They're asking, what church? What church? What church? So, I ask, what church you belong to? The guy says, no, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. So I said, congratulations to you. Mubarakbadi tumhe. He's shocked. When he says, I don't believe in God, he expects me to, you know, start attacking him now. I says, no. I said, congratulations to you. He said, what for? I said, you see, if you told me you are a Christian, no congratulations. Because your father was a Christian, your mother was a Christian. You tell me you are a Muslim. I said, no congratulations. Because your father was a Muslim, your mother was a Muslim. No, what did you do? You inherited it. Maa baap ne tumhe Musliman banaya, bachpan se tumko aisa. What have you done? Nothing. So no congratulations. But if you say you are an atheist, I say congratulations. Because your father was a Christian, your mother was a Christian, you come from a Christian environment, and you say you don't believe in God, you have been thinking. So I congratulate you for that. What made you say that there is no God? If your father was a Christian, they were going to church, mother was going to church, and now you say you don't go to church and you don't believe in God, you were thinking. So for that I congratulate you. Your mind has been working. Christian, he didn't work his brain, his Jew didn't work his brain, the Hindu didn't work his brain, the born Muslim didn't work his brains. You worked your brains. Congratulations. I said, you see, you have been thinking. What have you been thinking? I said, look, the things that you have been hearing about. You have been hearing about creation. I said, yes. Even he's an atheist, he knows what he has been reading as a child in the Bible. The whole environment is telling him about creation. He said, you see, you read in the Bible that God created Adam and Eve. I said, yes. And he put them in the garden. He said, yes. And he told them, eat anything, everything, except the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. I'm reading from the Bible. That tree thou shalt not eat, that fruit thou shalt not eat, because the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, says the Bible. That day, you'll surely die. So Shaitan comes along, and he tells them, he says, look, that fruit is very good to eat, and if you eat, you shall not surely die. Hargis tu nahi marega us din. So they were tempted, they act, and they live for 950 years after that. So, now you are confused. God said, that day you shall surely die. Shaitan said, thou shalt not surely die. And they didn't die. Who's speaking the truth? Shaitan. So they act. As soon as they act, they realize that they were naked. Prior to that, maybe grown-up people, but they were innocent, masoom in the thinking. They didn't know that they were naked. Now they realize that they were naked. So they started plucking leaves. I'm reading from the Bible. I'm reading, telling him his background, I'm telling him. So they started plucking leaves. And Adam heard, the Bible says, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam heard his footsteps. Like a mighty giant, like King Kong, or bigger than King Kong. And the earth is shaking. Boom, boom, boom. So, this is what the Bible says. Adam heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden in late afternoon, cool of the day. So he goes and hides himself in the bushes with Mahawa. So God comes and stands. I'm only reading what is in his book, what his experience I'm telling him. So God comes and stands where Adam and Eve were a few seconds before. And he scans, he looks. He can't see them. So he says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Tu kaha hai? Poor God, he doesn't know where Adam and Eve are. Or maybe he's playing hide and seek, you know, with Adam and Eve, like I do with my grandson. You see, I have a grandson about 3.5 years old. So I go home, and he's very happy to see his grandpa. But I go pretending that I don't see him. So I shout, say, Rais, Rais, tu kaha chhe? Where are you? That's my Gujarati language. You see, he understands my language. And I'm looking all over, Rais, where are you? And he's laughing. He's laughing. He's like, Grandpa can't see me. So maybe the Almighty also was wanting to have a little fun, you know, so playing hide and seek. I don't know. See, but that's what the Bible says. So Adam peeks through the bushes, you know, sheepishly, guilty. So what's wrong? Why are you hiding? He said, because I was naked. So how do you know that you were naked? You have been eating the fruit. So he says, no, it's the woman that thou gave us to me. She made me to eat. In other words, he's blaming Allah for giving him that woman. Say, if you didn't give me this woman, I wouldn't be in trouble. See, you gave me this woman. And he says, you woman? You woman? He says, no, it's the serpent that beguiled me. Satan ne hame, wo saap ne hame puslaya. So, you know, the cowards, our grandfather and grandmother first, they're cowards, you see, passing the buck, the responsibility, somebody else, the oldest game in the world, still with us today. So, I said, you believe in a God who walked in the garden and Adam heard his footsteps? He says, no. I said, me too, I don't believe in a God like that.
Then in the book of Genesis, it's still the same book, first book. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam wants to see Allah. He wants to see God. In the Quran, Allah says, Lan tarani, you shall never see me. In the Bible, he says, look, I must see you. What to do? So Allah bari ta'ala, he relents. He says, all right, I'll do you a favor. So he puts him between two rocks, the Bible says. And he puts his hand in the opening. So Musa alayhi salam can't see him. Then he turns his back. God, he turns his back and he takes away his hand. And Moses sees the back of God. He saw his backside. Allah's backside he saw. I said, do you believe in a God like that? That somebody can, Moses can see his backside? He says, no. Maybe the front side was too horrible to see. He saw his backside. So I said, me too. I don't believe in a God like that. Me too. I said, you know, you say the Christian, your father, mother, the whole Christian world. They said, Mary, the mother of Jesus, carried Mary, she carried Jesus for 9 months. Who is this Jesus? He's God. He's God who came down to earth as a man. He was born like any other human child, circumcised on the eighth day. You all know what is circumcision. Khatna ki uski atme din. God, somebody holding God and getting him circumcised. You believe in that? He says, no. That a woman carries God for 9 months, you believe in that? He says, no. I said, me too, I don't believe in it. Can you see? So, I said, look, this man, this atheist has taken the first right step in the direction of Islam. He is nearer to us than the Jew, the Christian, or the Hindu. Because he has uttered the first words, La ilaha. There are no ilah. There is no ilah. I said, Jesus is not ilah. Rama is not ilah. Krishna is not ilah. So he's saying, La ilaha. I said, now take him to illallah. Look, he's taken the first step. What do you start with? Anybody who wants to become a Muslim, what do you say? Say, La. What is La? No. Ilaha, koi ilah nahi, koi maabud nahi. There is nobody worthy of worship except Allah. So he's taken the first step. He said, La ilaha. Now look, find ways of making him to see that there is illallah. So look, common grounds and a common basis. Wallah, you can do it to anybody. If you want to sell, our fathers are business people. And you know when they sell rubbish, how they sell, I know. We have been selling. I'm a salesman originally. So selling, selling, selling. And I know how to sell. Usko kaisa phuslate hain? You know, our Delhi wala brothers, you know, they're very good in Bandar Road, you know, that old Bandar Road. Shh, good, good, sweet, mashallah. I don't mean any insult. Masters, masters. Kya zuban unki shirin hai, kaisa unko phuslate hain? You want to sell your rubbish? You use such art and technique. Why not in the way of Allah also? Think, you can develop, wallah, you can develop. And it's so pleasant, and it's so, you know, it gives you such satisfaction. Because Allah says, li yuzahirahu ala deen kulli. I mean, aisa deen diya hai, is a master overcome and supersede them all, bulldoze them all. And when you have the power of a bulldozer, have you seen bulldozer at work? Yes, I just watch and watch and watch for hours. Just see how it moves, you know, heaps and heaps, moving mountains, how it does, flattening the ground. You just stand and look. The way it's working. You get fascinated, mesmerized by what it is doing. You are that bulldozer. We can bulldoze any ism, whether it be Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianism, atheism, every ism. Islam is destined to master them all. It's a privilege Allah has given us as a prime common ground.